Hi and welcome to Legends Podcast. Here we discuss movie legends and legendary movies, cult, classic, new, old, original, sequels, reboot, remake and more, for better or worst.
Legends Podcast is presented to you by Legends Action Figures. Please visit legendsactionfigures.com, your friendly online source for toy and collectibles.
Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
These discussions will be spoiler-filled. Ellen will use an explicit language, so consider yourselves warned. Spoiler
alert.
Spoiler
alert.
Hi, and welcome to episode 11 of Legend Podcast, the podcast about movie legends and legendary movie. This week we discuss The Expendables, starring Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li, Dolph Lundgren, Eric Roberts, Randy Couture, Steve Austin, David Zayas, Charisma Carpenter, and Mickey Rourke. The movie is directed by Sly Stallone. Hi, I'm your host John D, and today I'm joined by...
Frank. This is Frank, you guys.
And we will be starting the all-new Sly arc. And as you've seen before, we don't do the arc as in most of the podcasts. This is ongoing arc. So I think Stallone's going to be a guy which we're going to be able to do a couple of movies.
I vote for Tango and Cash.
Oh, that would be great.
Over the top.
Over the top.
That's another one. That's the arm wrestling one.
Oh, yeah, that's the one with the truck.
He wins the truck. It's a big rig.
And I think we talked about Cliffhanger as well.
Yeah, there's like the tunnel of hellish nightmares or whatever as well. That's pretty cheesy.
Yeah.
Demolition Man, Judge Dredd.
Oh, I need to see Judge Dredd back before the new one gets it shot.
We need to see it.
Need, maybe not need, but it won't be nice.
Yeah. So yeah, we can do a bunch with Stallone. I don't really feel like doing the Rocky though. We'll see about that.
Yeah, maybe the first one, but that's pretty much it. Rambo could be something nice at some point. I haven't seen First Blood in like ages.
I guess we'll talk about it. So shall we move on?
We shall move on. So, as the usual with the new movie, and I say usual because we did Predators a couple of weeks back, but that's pretty much it. I don't take note in the theater, so we're just going to go as we remember and go with that format for that entire podcast. The movie start pretty, I would say, standard action movie-ish with... a boat and the titles coming up. We don't know what's happening, and it's like the first, I don't know,
it's like it sets up an action scene where you get to meet all of the Expendables, but there's no plot story. It's just senseless violence.
Yep, lots of senseless violence. And
they were warned though. They were given a chance.
And we just see this bunch of, I can't even say which country they are. I think it's pretty much made to make sure that we don't really know. And they have hostages.
Guessing they're slaves or something.
Yeah, I'm guessing as well. And for some reason, we don't know whom sent the Expendables to pay the ransom.
No, but they got like a few millions dollar. I think it's like 5 million or something.
Yeah, 5 million in the bag.
Yeah, they just throw it.
Yeah, and the movie starts, first thing we see the people with the hostages, and we just see like a bunch of laser sight, like out of Predators.
Well, yeah, it's just the standard cheesy laser sights that are, you know, shine in the dark, and it's, I guess it harkens back to the 80s, and that's the whole feel of the movie. They, I think they turn on the light and they throw the money in, and they try to get the... pirates or whatever at that point. They tried to get them to surrender the hostage, but they just won't do it. And so carnage ensues.
And which is kind of funny to know that it's pretty much one of the only scene where we see the whole team together. Same level.
That's true.
The rest of the movie, yeah, the cast is pretty impressive. And Maybe we should talk about the cast before we go a little bit further into the movie. This is an action movie cast.
Well, yeah.
In the sense that not every, but a bunch of action movie stars are just regrouped together. And I think that's what make the appeal of the movie. That's why I wanted to see that movie first.
Oh, if you've seen the trailers, I mean, they definitely make a big deal out of who is in that movie. And they got a few of the big names, that's for sure.
Yeah, here in Canada, we didn't have that much publicity, but while I was in LA, you couldn't walk like two blocks without seeing at least 10 marquee with everybody. Even Bruce Willis was on the marquee, and he's not even credited in the movie, so that gives a good idea of what kind of publicity they wanted to make with this.
Ooh, but that setup's a mystery.
So they throw the money, they don't want it, and we see the action group in action.
Yeah, there's a bunch of knife throwing and guy punching and a lot of guns going and people dying.
Yeah, they throw like the light down and they have like that predator vision.
Night vision?
Yeah, but it doesn't look like night vision. It's like a bunch of colors and I found it a bit weird. And they open the light and everybody's just pointing gun at each other while Statham and Stallone are like, oh, there's three on the left and there's two on the right, and you could take that many, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, at the first moment of the movie, I found that the chemistry between those two actors worked well, which is a good thing since they're pretty much the two stars of the movie, let's face it. The other big names are more like, let's say, second tier character.
Yeah, I guess we could say at this point that Statham's, you know, the guy he plays, is about the only one besides Stallone that gets a bit of backstory. He's got like a girlfriend or something, so he's special. He does get more screen time lines.
Yeah, you're right. The two guys who are the kind of stars you see because they have girlfriend or anyway go or to get the girl, something like that. Because even Stallone is what, 63 now, something like that.
Somewhere along that, yeah.
He's still trying to go for the girl in that movie.
Well, I mean, we'll get there when we get there. I mean, it's an action movie, so if there's girl getting, it's at the end. But, yeah, so basically, we're introduced to everyone, but only about two of them are important at that point. I guess at that point, it moves on, and we see them riding in bikes, I think. And
No, I want to go before that, because one of my favorite scene is there. The people don't want to get the money. They shoot pretty much everybody. They throw a knife, blah, blah, blah. And while they get everybody, they're searching for Dolph Lundgren. And they don't find him because he wants to hang a pirate.
Yeah, that's true.
And for some reason, I found that so funny. They're like, where is Gunner? And yes, that's one of the characters I remember the name. And they find Gunner and they're like, I think it's Jet Li saying he wants to hang a pirate. And he has like that hanging cord. And the pirates, they're like, no, don't do it, come on.
Yeah, and I think like after a while Stallone just gets pissed. He's like, or something like that.
Yeah,
and Dove goes, we just need to make a point here that, you know, diction and pronunciation is not the biggest quality of this movie. As you might have noticed, me and my co-host here aren't native English-speaking people, so maybe we had a tougher time.
You're native English-speaking?
I said we're not.
Okay, sorry.
We're not! So that might be why we have a harder time, you know, trying to hear what they're saying. Anyways, it was just make fun of this point, but we just get to see that there's a discipline issue with Gunner and Stallone at that point.
Yeah, and Jet Li tries to kick him a bit, and it starts a little rivalry between Gunner and the Jet Li character. And you've heard the other cast before. We're probably going to call them through their name, actor name, because the name of the characters are not that to remember.
Well, Jet Li is Christmas Lee.
Oh, that's true.
So why even bother?
Here you go. And I don't remember the name of Stallone in the movie. It's like Payton or
Pale or Payne or Hale or something like that.
Just Google it. Barney Ross.
He's Barney. Oh, wow. I was wrong about Jet Li. His name is actually Ying Yang, and it's Jason Statham that's Lee Christmas. So, yeah.
Someone had to be named Lee.
Randy Couture is Toll Road. Steve Austin is Pain.
That's pretty much it. James Monroe is Eric Roberts.
There's Terry Crews as El Caesar, but he's barely in the movie, and Mickey Rourke plays Tool.
Yeah, which he is barely in the movie as well, but anyway, we'll get to his scene in a couple of minutes.
He's the insightful one.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy who's more brilliant than the other, who lived more.
He's older, so he's got wisdom or something.
Is he older than Stallone?
He's probably younger than Stallone. I guess you could, yeah, just...
Google it! Yeah, but...
at the bottom.
He's doing his, like, comeback in the last couple of movies, I would
52,
say.
52, so he's like, 58.
And Stallone, we said, was around 53. So, yeah, and he's playing the old character.
Stallone's older than 53.
Yeah, he's born in 46.
63 or 64 years old. That's okay.
Yeah, but, you know, with all the plastic surgery, he must think he looks younger.
That's impressive for 64.
Yeah. Oh, the guy is still buff. He's no Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, we see Arnold in this movie with this old man look. So... if you go back to Arnold's heyday, yeah, but, Stallone is pretty ripped in the movie. That's something you gotta give him. He does manage to put his shirt off so we can, view the results of a lot of work in injections.
Yeah, it wasn't any thrown out of Australia because he had, like, horses, hormones with him, something like that.
Yeah, well, basically steroids, but... yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, anyway, so we get to the plane, which is kind of a character in the movie. It's like their favorite means of transportation. And we see Statham and Stallone in the cockpit talking about the Dolph Lundgren character. And there's something, can we give him his knife back and blah, blah, blah. He goes to Lundgren, who's actually strapped in the back of the plane. And they strap him and he give this... huge knife to Statham.
It's basically a machete.
Yeah.
But at that point, it's like it's pretty clear that Dolph Lundgren either plays someone that's crazy or always hopped up on drugs.
Yeah, he's
the right guy for that.
He looks the part.
He does a great job.
I don't know. Does he have any background of doing drugs or anything like that? Or
no. Nah.
You're not that much into Lundgren?
It's Dolph Lundgren. How the hell would I know? The guy's pretty cool. I just don't want to know about him.
Yeah. But you said you're the one who brought up that he was married to Grace Jones.
Yeah, but that's just an abomination. I mean, it's like a car wreck or something. You just can't help to look.
Yeah, no, I agree a bit about that. And they did the... anyway, I wasn't sure it was his real face because he has like a bunch of scar in that movie.
Oh, he had some makeup on, but he's getting on the ages as well. He's not a spring chicken either.
Yeah, he was young in the 80s, so...
Yeah.
Here you go, and young is a loose term I'm using here.
Yeah, he could play from 20 to 35 back then.
Come on, he was E-Man!
He sure was.
So we see them on the bikes, and they get into the garage/hangar/tattoo shop. Yeah, / tattoo shop. And we're introduced to the fastest tattoo artist in the world.
Yeah, that's where Stallone takes off his shirt. He's like, oh, there's like this big tattoo in my back. This skull with a raven on it, and this... scroll with the letters on it, and it's written the expend and something like that. I think it's just EXP that's written on there. And in about 45 seconds movie time, and there's no clear indication that more time passed, Mickey Rourke was able to complete all the letters in the Expendables.
And it's funny because they have Mickey Rourke comes in with that young chick, biker chick, that you know is just like a throwaway person we're not going to see again. And they even hint at that, oh, it's another girlfriend.
I like how she, you know, rises in the elevator and she's just like, you know, she's just furniture in the picture.
Oh, yes, she is. Then he did a girl at some points with all those buff guys.
Yeah.
And that's what she is. Anyway, they introduce Mickey Rourke a bit. He talks like this old, I would say, Obi-Wan character a bit. And he's like, oh, are we finishing this today? Like, it took forever to do. And went down to say two line. And like you said, there's no other indicative of time. Say two line, another bike comes in, and the tattoo is over.
Things move along fast in the expandable universe.
For moving along fast, yeah. The plot, too.
What plot?
We're going to talk about the old plot more at the end because I have some points versus another movie we already reviewed. But we see the other character comes in, and if I'm not mistaken, we're introduced pretty much to everybody. No, we're introduced to the fact that Mickey Rourke doesn't do this anymore because he saw the war and he was an old war buddy with Stallone. So
like in Serbia with Stallone or something like that.
And he saw blood and now he wants girls and he doesn't want the life of the action hero. Or they're not putting it as an action hero, they're more putting it as butchers at this point. He's trying to define it as butcher's job instead of action hero.
He just reminds me of, like, I don't know, a knife throwing hippie or something.
I think that's the point.
He's like, he does tattoo and he's like with this Asian porn chick or whatever, and he's like all philosophy and whatever. He's just, it's such a throwaway character, if you ask me. He's just like there to, you know, supposed to bring you this wisdom, but it's pretty cliche. And
yeah, it is. We intercut with Jason Statham because we need to intercut with something. We cannot follow Stallone all the way. And we intercut with Jason Statham, who's going to see his maybe girlfriend, not girlfriend, which is Charisma Carpenter, who all of you could maybe more remember from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, or just have no clue who this girl is.
Yeah, I think she did a couple other TV shows. I think she was in Legends of the Seeker or something like that, but
that didn't last.
Oh, they're good. They're doing it second season.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was canceled in mid-season.
No. They completed the first season. They're doing a second one. And if it's not already started, actually, yeah, I guess it's a show with, you know, this. It kind of reminds me of Twilight. This young guy, and he's like buff, and he's always taking his shirt off to build a bridge. I'm saying that, and I only watched the pilot, so don't take my word for it. But I'll judge it anyway because it sucks.
Okay.
It was just bad.
Okay, so Charisma Carpenter.
Yeah, she's
she has that. He comes in like, oh, I don't see you a lot, but I bought you this. And
he's got champagne and he just wants to get his nookie on.
And she's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a month and a half. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do. So there's this other guy that comes in who looks, first glance, first line, you already know he's a jerk.
Yeah, he's... Well, I mean, of course, you go away and you had this girl. I mean, you go away for a month, she'll land a jerk. That's just life, man. You should know that.
Yeah, I tried to not go away for a month and a half so the jerk doesn't get into my house.
Yeah.
And anyway, he's going back to the Expendables because he has nothing to do with her at that point. She's with the other guy.
Yeah, he's just pissed. It's like, bah.
Yeah, and there's a bit of tension. Anyway, it's supposed to be tension. We cut back to, I don't even remember the country. But unfortunately, it's not Valverde.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I think it's Cape South or South Town. I don't know.
It has a weird name.
It's like generic 2005 or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, it's...
Vilena
in the Gulf of Mexico. So we go there and we meet General Garza, who's played by David Zayas. If any of you watch Dexter, he's Batista in Dexter.
You're cutting out a huge part of the movie.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, why would people go there, you know,
in the context of the movie.
Oh no, we're introduced to those characters as who they are, and the relationship between him and Eric Roberts. No.
No.
Oh, I thought they had a little scene before the mission happened.
They get the contract to go there, and they go investigate first.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
I have notes, so I'm going to believe you.
I want to see why we'd get to see this place before we even heard about it in the movie.
Well, you know, this is what they do in action movie. They introduce you to the bad character, to the villains, too, so there's a build-up of who they are. But you see, I don't remember the movie enough.
The way I think it went is like they went back from the pirate mission or whatever, and they're like, you know, looking for the next mission. Isn't it that at that point it was like Jet Li is asking for more money or whatever?
And yeah, that's kind of a joke they have, because he's always asking more money for his family or for his children, which he doesn't have any.
So I think at that point, it's just Stallone is going out to meet someone to get his contract, and that will lead him to Villena. But
okay, so let's go back to the contract scene, because let's face it, this is a scene that people paid a ticket to see that scene.
Well, I guess some did, yeah.
Yeah. So we get into that church where we meet Mr. Church, which is Bruce Willis. And Bruce Willis wants to contract the team, and he invited two team leaders.
He's basically some guy from the CIA that doesn't want to tell his name, so it's just practical to call him Church. And Stallone gets there at first, and he's like, oh yeah, I've called this other guy, and he's just getting here. He just sees Arnold Schwarzenegger walk into this church, and there's this great just bit of dialogue between the three of them that starts like, it's just fun to see the three of them together.
Oh yeah, and the Schwarzenegger entrance, he's opening the two door of the church and walks in like he's the Terminator, but let's face it, this guy is not who he used to be. He doesn't have the bulkiness that he used to have.
He's got this like Hawaiian shirt, and his pants are like up to his nipples. I mean, he just looks like, you know, an old guy, and I mean he is, but I couldn't, you know, you just can't see this guy, you know, being a badass, whereas Stallone still manages to pull it off.
Yeah, and they joke a bit about that, because they're I like the dialogue at that point. And when I saw, I like the dialogue, not in the context of the movie, but in the context of who those people are. Because you have like Bruce Willis, who was the reluctant action heroes in the 80s, made up with Die Hard, which he's there, but doesn't really want to be there, and did a lot of role in the same idea. And you have those two guys like, oh yeah, you're short and you're fat. Oh yeah, but you're bulky, and they're pretty much referring to their career, because they're two rival at that point, and they used to
They're like two gang leaders vying for the same contract, but when Mr. Church tells them it's in Villena, Schwarzenegger says he knows about the place and he's reluctant to go. So,
and why does he reluctant to go?
Because it sucks.
Because he was about to be president of that place before the other guy was.
You sure about that?
Oh yeah, there's like a joke. He was to be president.
No, but that's a joke about his real life. That's like breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, I agree, but I thought it was in the context like he was supposed to be president of the island.
No, I think in the movie they meant the United States as well.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure.
Okay. You see, I had found like a bunch of different levels that weren't there. And
you're making plot up where there's none.
I want it. I want more plot.
Just watch the big guns. It's like,
anyway, so you get that kind of nice scene. And the first thought I had when we watched that scene was like, that doesn't seem to fit really much in the context of the movie, because they already know a bit about the contract, and there's another scene after. And he came back, look around at the internet, and the movie was shot in June, and that was shot in October.
I didn't follow you there, but right on ahead.
They didn't shoot that scene with the bulk of the rest of the movie. They did it as a reshoot, like
a couple of months later. Oh, you mean the, okay.
So it was really to showcase the three action star of the 80s in the same room, because I'm not even sure that Bruce Willis was in the same room as them all the time, because... Do we have a shot where we see the three of them in the same shot?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd say yes.
Yay. I'm happy now. Anyway, we go back and they don't want to take Gunner with them because he did let Boo Boo the last time and he's too high.
They basically kick him out of the team at that point.
Yeah, because he's a problem.
He's a wild gun. You just can't trust him.
And then we go to Villena.
Well, they want to go on a recon mission and it's just Statham and Stallone. They take the plane and let's just go to Villena.
But I'm pretty sure we have a scene in there where we're introduced to the Presidente and Eric Roberts. Where Presidente is like, don't talk to me like that in front of my man. And he reprised that in another scene later because they're trying to build kind of a tension between Eric Roberts and the Presidente.
That's possible. I just remember it a bit later in the movie, but
anyway.
Possible.
They get there, there's like what's it, passport control or customs?
Yeah.
Which, let's face it, customs. We have that old guy behind the desk and like two guys with guns in the back.
Yep.
That's pretty much it. And they're building up tension.
It reminds me of taking the plane in New York in 2002. Okay. There was a lot of guys with guns back then.
In 2002? Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Anyway, there, that music cue where they're trying to build a tension. Are they going to pass? Are they not going to pass the passport thing? And they just stamped the passport. I was sure they were all dead right now. But
the guy doing the passports is just jaded. He doesn't care. He's like, just go into the country. I don't mind.
Yeah, go do your thing. I don't care. And they go around.
They pretend to be watching birds or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's their excuses. That's their alibi.
He did that, and they did that in James Bond Die Another Day as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, ornithologist.
Yeah,
they get into the country, which is the same kind of typical
poor
South American country where
dictator.
There's a dictatorship. It's a little small country that's pretty much run by drugs, and there's old truck in the middle of the streets and an army. And
I like how basically they just go to the center of town and there's like this truck that is in the middle of the road. And, just the soldier and the general happens to go by there. So the our main guys get introduced to the bad guy right at that point where he orders the car pushed out of the way. And it's like you can see he's the bad guy. So.
And it takes it, but is it the Presidente or is it? I think it's Eric Roberts at that point. We see.
It's probably Eric Roberts. Yeah.
And they're taking picture. Like I always find that funny because they push themselves into an alcove, and usually we see that in movies where it's a man and a woman kissing, but there it's two grown men, one taking picture and the other one looking the other way.
They're very subtle.
Stallone is always subtle.
I'm just thinking about those two guys in this small space and this small probably very humid and hot island. I mean, it probably stinks in there.
It probably does.
Smells of a horse or a mourn or something.
They needed to go there anyway, so yeah. Why not shoot the movie?
Yeah. They have a meetup after they see this Eric Roberts guy. They have a meetup in the bar.
Yeah, that little bar, and they see a woman. And there's a little bit of interplay between Stallone, who's trying to tell Statham how to have a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't sound believable. But that sounds like, Yeah, and the other guy.
Statham is like a bit of a British accent, so it's a bit weird, but yeah.
Yeah, because it's funny. They kind of retain all of their accent. They kind of ask Lundgren to do a Russian accent. Stallone has his Stallone
He's
accent.
He's a Finn, though, I think.
A what?
He's from Finland.
Okay, so we have...
I think.
Anyway, he has his accent. The Arnold Schwarzenegger Austrian accent is just so huge when we hear him. Jet Li makes a point of having an accent because he doesn't really have one when he's playing in...
I don't remember any Jet Li movie, honestly. I think I've seen Hero and it's like not really his voice or something.
You haven't seen The One?
Nope.
good for you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's called common sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched that because it looked like a Matrix ripoff, and that's pretty much what it was.
No, it was a Matrix Revolutions ripoff.
And anyway, so they meet the girl and they're like, oh, she's hot, blah, blah, blah. And
well, she's not that hot. I mean, she's cute, but she's like girl next door type.
Yeah, but they say she's hot. She's like the main girl of the movie, so they
yeah, she is.
They have to say she's hot. And she's taking them, and that's the part
they, where they basically ask her to take them to the, you know, the castle of the dictator. It's like, yeah, just take us to the door, we'll be fine.
There's a bit of dialogue over there. They go, they get there, and this is one of part of the plot where I found funny, because she's like the instigator of the rebellion, if I understood the plot correctly, but she doesn't really want them to do any damage until they get arrested, because they're like at 2 kilometers of the castle.
Just say 1 mile, you're confusing people.
Okay, so we're at 1 mile of the castle looking from 1 mile away, and a truck with shoulder pads, and they're like, oh, stop, 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 you can't be here.
And killing ensues.
And killing ensues, because we need an action scene at that point, and we need to get stuff to blow up, so...
Knives in your face, man.
And this is a scene, that, one of the... My favorite, I would say, action scene, because you have Statham with a knife guy, a bit like Tool, like I would say he's a young Tool.
He's a Tool.
He's a Tool.
But that's cool. yeah.
And he, like, he stabs someone with a knife, kick another one, and while he's spinning, take the knife back and cut.
I do like how he always gathers back his knife. That's cool. And yeah, he's opposite Stallone, who's like this gunslinger guy.
Yeah, and Stallone's more, like you said, using guns and throwing people far away from him. And in the end, there's the shot that everybody saw in all of the trailer, where you just shoot the guy in the back of Statham. Probably the bullet just went like a quarter of an inch beside his ear. And you're like, are you crazy? You could have shot me. And that shot was in every trailer. It was supposed to be really, really, really funny. It was a bit. But, yeah, it was okay. If a bullet come that close to your ear, it's supposed to pierce your eardrum, I think.
It's not... Well, I don't know. I'm guessing maybe. But, I don't know. It just it doesn't have that much impact, if you ask me. If you're going to try to do comedy in the movie like this, that's not going to... I need higher standards.
I would say in the first...
it's like, give me a poop joke or something.
But in the first scene of the movie, there was a bit of comedy. The first shot that they actually have on a guy, the guy just explodes in ball of blood. And
oh, yeah. That's... yeah. The a lot of the stuff is done by CGI, and it's not very good CGI. It's like... It's like...
Shiny blood.
Yeah, it's... I'm thinking it might have been done that way. It might have been intended to be that way. But it's very apparent. And it's just like over the top.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're really good at doing like actual blood. Why do we need to go CGI for this kind of stuff? I mean, Rambo was doing it. So don't tell me Stallone doesn't know how to do that crap.
Well, but I think it was some kind of a point, you know, to do CGI, but to do it in the bad 80s way, you know, kind of the way, you know, special effects looked in the 80s. You could always tell them, and it was the same thing there.
Yeah, oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm guessing, you know.
It's just cheaper because
I'm trying to defend my friend Stallone.
You spinning on Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
he's
we get...
so awesome.
We have that action scene that just spawned up this chase where they take the truck back to the port with people like gunning at them, and there's a truck chase pretty much.
The funny thing here is that in this chase, and well, they get to the port and there's this big action, you know, set piece there with the plane. But they managed to kill about, you know, 40, 50 people. And that's funny when you know later on how many soldiers are in this island.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, we a bit later on in the movie, it's like, oh, I had 100 soldiers on my island. And at that point, you've seen, you know, Statham Stallone kill about 50 of them.
I think that the number is like 150. And they already killed 42.
Yeah, something like that.
So when you go back there with an old team, you should be able to wipe them out.
Anyways,
but that action piece is kind of funny because the passport guy gets it.
Yeah, there's a bit of trickery where they ditch the girl and Stallone goes his way and Statham goes to get the plane.
Don't ditch the girl. They want to take her back, but
she stays. Yeah, she decides wants to stay
for the revolution.
Yeah, whatever she's going to do. Yeah, anyways. they split, so Stallone will delay the soldiers while Statham starts the plane. So Stallone kills the passport guy, kills the soldier. Statham starts the plane, starts to go on the water, where we can get to see this awesome scene of Stallone running after the plane and just jumping in the nick of time to grab onto the door, and he's like buffeted by wind and water, but such a tough guy, he managed to get on the plane. He goes to the pilot seat and they have this this great idea.
Oh yeah, and this is so funny because he just got out of this, and I would say just the water run he does in Stallone would have bruised him a lot, but he's still like in shape. Takes the plane and says to Statham, okay, go to the turrets or something like that. And he disappeared under the console. I was like, what? Is he like sucking his dick or what is he going to do?
Sir, I'm ready to BJ. Sir, I'm stressed out.
And the next scene we see is the front of the plane opening.
He's like, Statham just pops up in there. He's like, hey.
And Stallone makes him a little sign like, open the guns. And you see those little metal parts sliding, so it reveals the gun, but I would emphasize on little metal part with holes. We don't actually see the guns getting out or nothing, and it gives the thumbs up to Stallone.
They just make this run at the port, and this it's basically, you know, this straight line, and the plane just barrels down on it, and I think they go very, very low for some impact or something.
No, it's for the drop they're doing at that point.
Yeah, but anyways, there's like gasoline on the port and everything. They just kill everyone and everything lights up. And Eric Roberts and Stone Cold Steve Austin are the only one that managed to dive into the water at that point.
And this is one of the parts we laughed the most in the movie because, okay, you have Statham that's out of the front of the plane shooting people while they go back to the dock. And they go really down so they're able to drop gas. And everybody knows that if you drop enough gas on wood, it's going to explode like a nuclear blast.
Well, as we said, you know, the expendable universe is explodable as well. It's like, you could drop a plate and it would explode.
Oh, yeah. And
you just sneeze too hard and your nose would explode.
Oh, yeah. But that place explodes like for like 30 seconds. Big ball of fire, yeah. Everywhere. Anyway, I found that pretty funny. And they go back to the U.S., which seemed really easy to get from country to country when you're like an armed mercenary.
Well, they have this paint on the plane which says they are, you know, from the wildlife organization. So I'm sure that fools everyone.
Yeah, why do you need all those guns? Just in case we run into an elephant.
You know, in case some wild birds attacks us. You know. Aren't you guys from the trying to save those? Anyways, it's a bit ludicrous, but they get back to the USA, and at that point, they don't want to go there again.
But this is the part of the story where I'm a bit confused, because the way I saw the movie, they thought they did the job. Which they didn't really do because, yeah, everything exploded, but those two guys were in the water, so they were okay.
But that was only recon.
That was only recon, but
they just wanted to get to know the place and, you know, see if they would take the mission.
But anyway, I thought they would do it, and they thought they did it, but they decided not take the mission because they saw Eric Roberts, and they decided that he's old CIA and they don't want to do CIA's job. But Stallone is really mesmerized by the fact that the girl did not want to go with them, but she wanted to continue the revolution. She had a cause.
Yeah, it's like an epiphany, and like Stallone decides that he needs to do something worthwhile in his life.
Actually, he goes see Tools. So Tools tell him another story that makes him realize.
Yeah, but it's just such a bunch of bullshit.
Yes, it is. The original character is named Tool, and the only reason why he's in the movie is the tool to make Stallone think.
And that's dangerous.
Yeah, you don't want Stallone to think too much. Anyway.
Yeah. Moving on. I just want to say there's a bit here where Statham tries to get his girl back.
There you go.
He sees her and she has this black eye, and he's like, no, that shit won't do with me, and I'll, you know, bust a cap in the ass of your ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, and they go to that basketball field outside where...
Basketball court.
Court, thank you. Yeah, it's a football field and a basketball court.
I think the difference is in the turf, you know, if you got grass there.
Oh, yeah, and the size, too.
That's what she said.
And he gets there and he's like pissed. The guy is with all his, bully friend. Because let's face it, they're
jocks.
Yeah, they're jocks, but a bunch of bullies. And he just beat the crap out of all of them, make them really scared. Goes back on the bike. Look at this girl. Now you're doing what I do in life. And that's the last time we see Charisma Carpenter in the movie.
Yeah, and somehow I didn't miss her.
Yeah, me neither. She was really there just to give him, like, I want to say character depth, but...
It's not even that. It's just time, you know? You're just passing time in the movie. Because you can't see Stallone alone all the time, but they really didn't flesh that out at all.
No, they did not.
I mean, she's always wearing clothes.
Yeah, what's about that? Come on, it's a guy movie. We want to see a boob shot. We don't even have one in there.
Yep.
Anyway, so we go back. Stallone decide that they should not take the job, and we go back to Villania.
Well,
and we see that poppy field where there's nothing in it.
Yeah, just fields.
Just a field. Why don't I have anything that grows here? And Eric Roberts is always playing that
evil corporate bad guy.
Bad guy who manipulate the Presidente, and the Presidente doesn't like it. And they really show you that he doesn't like it less and less and less, and he's getting tired of all this. And they're like, all this because one woman, which we have a big reveal, is his daughter.
She's the daughter of the dictator.
Were you surprised?
No, didn't care either.
But that was a big reveal of the movie. Come on.
Who cares?
Who cares?
It's like, why? You're not killing people right now. Stuff is not exploding.
Yeah. That's coming up, though.
Yeah, I guess stuff can't explode all the time.
No, almost. And we have... maybe we went through that scene already, but there's a scene where we have like a presentation of all the characters, and we have Randy Couture explaining why he has that weird ear, and all the characters have like a line, so we're able to differentiate them.
Yeah, but there's this difficulty, whereas I don't know, it just kind of all blends into itself. The movie is such so thin. Anyways, yeah, they do get to you do get to know about, you know, every character, but it's so late in the movie. But I think at that point, what happens first is that Stallone tells them that he's going there alone, but
not yet. We have the scene with Lundgren. Oh no, you're right. He tells them that they're going there alone. He wants to go back there alone.
Yeah.
And we have the scene with Lundgren selling them out.
Yep.
And the little rivalry between him and Stone Cold.
Yeah. Yeah, Stone Cold. Jet Li?
No. The Eric Roberts henchman, which is the WWF guy.
No.
Stone Cold?
No.
because
he gets Stone Cold, but he stays in Villena all the movies.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it's longer and it goes there to sell the service.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he looks like he doesn't look like he always looked like a douchebag, but he act like a douchebag, and there's like this mini rivalry between him and Stone Cold, and
yeah, that's true.
That's when we assume that he's selling them out.
He is.
Stallone decides to go alone, and Jet Li's like going with him. He's like, no, I want to go with you because I need money for my wife.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I'm smaller. I should be paid more.
Because he works harder because he's small.
And there's that recurring joke in the old movie where Jet Li's always saying that he's small and he should be paid more because he's small and he has to kick people.
Yeah, that's
pretty much it.
It is. I really don't know what to add to that, but
they get ambushed while they're in the truck, basically.
I want to stop on the truck for a second because it's kind of nice. It's kind of an old truck that they buffed up.
Yeah,
it's Pimp My Ride.
Yeah, it's a Pimp My Ride kind of truck.
And anyway, there's the action sequence where you have Dolph Lundgren and a bunch of bad guys shooting at Stallone and Jet Li.
Yeah, there's a bunch of shooting and a bit of car chase.
For some reason, Jet Li goes in the truck.
Jet Li's in the cab and Stallone's like, oh, go out back. He just goes out back. I don't know why. Especially since the doors and the windows seems to be bulletproof. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll go out back. That seems fine.
And there's that truck chase under the skyway, and they get into factory,
some kind of factory,
and they start fighting, and this is the big Jet Li versus Lundgren thing, and Jet Li at some point sees low clearance.
It's like Terran advantage.
I'm small, he's big. And they have that kind of joke where Lundgren is always like hitting his head to everything, and maybe why he acts like a douchebag.
And I like how Jet Li tries to strangle him with his ankle, and that does never work.
Anyway, like, we had that discussion, but that would not work anyway. You need to have, like, pretty good legs to be able to make that work.
I'm guessing it might be feasible, but, you know, in a fight, it was... I just don't see it. I mean, if you look at MMA fighters and stuff like that, they rarely go for, you know, leg locks or stuff like that. They just... It just seems hard to strangle someone with your shins.
Yeah. He's called Magic Leg, which I found like funny. It's like Lundgren called him Magic Leg like one or two times.
That's possible.
Anyway, so just before Lundgren impales him, Stallone shoots him.
Yeah.
And Lee's survive. And there's this little moment.
Touching scene.
Yeah. Where he's like, okay, I shot you just up of the art like a bit. So, am I going to get out of this? I don't know. And, okay, come closer. I'm going to tell you everything. And we have that shot from far where he's telling him something, but we don't know why. We don't know what is he telling him. And I found that looks like a love scene a bit. We have the Russian and Rocky, like, having a love scene.
Well... I didn't see it as a love scene, though. It's like some kind of old friends that are, you know, separating at last because of Iraq. You know, they just can't get along. You know, Duff is just so far gone. He just has to die at that point.
Yeah.
It's like old Yeller.
We have the gathering of the band for the last hurrah.
Yeah, as Stallone and Jet Li gets to the plane, they have a nice surprise.
Everyone's there! It's like a party! Yeah, because, you know, they're like friends and warrior, and they have to fight together. And we forgot in between all that, but the girl's getting tortured.
Oh, yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, but she's getting tortured, like, periodically, and Stallone wants to go back for her because she has a cause.
I just have to say that it's a bit weird how they touch her. I mean, when I first saw it, I found it weird. I don't know if you remember. They just place like this... And I mean, it's not that it wouldn't work. I'm guessing it can be quite annoying, but they just place this towel on her face and drop water on the towel.
I read somewhere that this work, you can drown someone like
this. that's what I thought as well. It just, I don't know, it seems a bit, you know.
You know, it's better than just drunking her head into the water like we've seen in so many other movies.
I guess it's fairly cheap to do that. I mean, you just need a rag and water, so that's something positive about it.
But in between you and me, for the price that movie costs, because...
Oh, I'm not talking about in the movie. I'm just talking, you know, if I'm a dictator and I need to torture people, if I can do it with a rag, I mean, that's money saved.
Yeah, no, okay, let that kind of agree. But, you know, in the past, I've been pretty good to estimate how much a movie costs. And that movie, when I was looking at it, I was like, oh, that cost $45-50 million top. And it cost $82 million. I hope it was salaries.
I don't know, but it might be.
Or explosion.
Or custom cars.
Custom cars.
Custom cars and bikes and stuff like that.
I read somewhere that they build three of those trucks. One for the movie, like the good one. One to destroy during the movie. And Stallone kept one.
Why not?
Yeah, you put that in the budget of the movie so you don't have to spend the $12 million they paid you.
You know, he's banking on this to make a series. So if it works, you know, down 20 years, he could sell the truck and make a lot of money. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. But anyway, it's becoming a series, like, yep, next year. So anyway, so we have all the people, and back in the plane, we have presentation of the people.
Yeah.
Presentation of the guns.
Yeah.
Presentation of the bullets.
Yeah, knives as well, and, you know, Jet Li's feet, and
we have that.
He's still small.
Yeah, he's still small. And we have the guy from the NFL who has that big gun, who introduced... It's an automatic shotgun that has a different set of bullets that explode.
Yeah. It's like mini bullets rocket with fins that explode in an automatic shotgun. It's yeah.
It's like Reese Pieces.
Yeah, I guess.
You put chocolate and peanut butter together, you get something good.
Yep.
Yep. And the first time they had like the problem to get to the custom, to get to the castle. But this time we don't even see where to put the plane. They're just in front of the castle in the middle of the night. And
the passport guy is dead, so it was easier this time.
And before that,
no one recognized the plane this time either.
Oh, yeah. And before that, we have the dictator who's doing his brain fart, who's like, okay, I need to get back to my people. I'm throwing Eric Roberts out of here because you're just here for drugs. And now I'm painting. And all my soldiers have black face with a yellow lightning in the middle.
it just comes out of nowhere. And there's this bit about the girl being a painter as well. I mean, but, you know, it's just fluff. It doesn't bring anything to the movie at all.
Oh no, this feels like, okay, we're at the end of Batman and Robin, and we need new suits. So you're going to be on the ice, you have like ice, anti-ice suit, and a new vehicle that we've never seen before and we're never going to see again, that are built just for the purpose of what you have. That looks like this. Like, okay, we have a last action scene, we have a last hurrah, we have to amp up the action. So let's paint their face.
It's just more badass. I mean, it's not as bad as Batman and Robin, I'd say, but still in the same vein. It's just everything is building up to this, you know, big. You know, it ends with a bang. It ends with a bang. So, you know, everything gets
a bang.
Well, numerous bang. And you know, it's at night, and it's in this old stone castle, and then, yeah.
And this is the part, I think, of the plot that's going to go pretty fast, because they infiltrate the castle, they pass a sheer amount of time putting explosive charges, and the montage for that is quite long, I found.
Yeah, they just, everyone runs and sticks explosive everywhere for like a few minutes. And you know, in every once in a while, you know, this guard gets killed in a cool fashion.
Yeah, and there's a first quirmish. And for some reason, they decided that shaking the camera would be a great idea. And, you know, I can accept Paul Greengrass doing it in Bourne Supremacy, and maybe an Ultimatum was a little bit too much. But in this movie, we know Stallone knows how to shoot action. Shaking, why does he do that?
No, shaking the camera is just cheap way out. It's just so cheap. It's like, you have cameras that probably cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, that have software in there to make sure that, you know, when you film stuff, it doesn't shake. And you shake it some more. It just doesn't make sense to me. You see nothing. What's the point of this?
No, like, I agree. My I would say, reference to Bourne is like, if you have like that series takes that as a style, okay, but now it's like a trend. Everybody does that. And as much as I like Batman Begins, we never saw Batman fight. We saw a camera moving around, and this is the same thing.
It's so cheap.
Yeah, it's like you don't really know how to shoot action. You don't really know how to get the coverage you need for the shot to be, to have sense, so you do this. And once I said before, we know that Stallone knows how to shoot action. Just look at the last Rambo. It was well shot for action sequence.
I don't know. We're talking about this, and I'm thinking about The Matrix. You know, one thing that's for sure, they knew how to film the fights. You always saw what was going on, at least. Oh, I think at least the first movie and the second one.
Oh, even the third one. It's just that the fight is so long that after 20 minutes that they're battling, you just don't
care
anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure. But at least they did that right. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing I can say about The Matrix the way it's shot. It was well shot. There's a bunch of other problems that comes with that series, but the direction...
Their camera was stable.
Yeah, their camera. Like,
they were able to hold it on tight.
Oh, yeah. They had a good suspension on that camera.
Yeah. So, there's this like big action beat, and, you know, the camera is shaking all around. One thing I found funny is, like, there's this huge crates of, you know, heroin or cocaine everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's so,
and, you know,
much
it's
drug.
Like, 4 feet by 4 feet by 8 feet tall, and it's like it's just everywhere. But the fields were empty.
Yeah, the fields were empty, but they have drugs in there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because while this happens, we have the Presidente doing his brain fart again.
He's doing a speech with soldier, I think.
Oh, he's having a fight with Eric Roberts. Go get the girl. Go get my daughter. You're not gonna kill her. But when they go together, they're already getting in the skirmish with the Expendables. And for some reason, for some stupid reason, there's a bag of money that comes out of nowhere, which is like so 80s for me. It's like the only motivation of the bad guy is the bag of money. Because the Presidente kills him, kills like a stupid freak. Starting to do his monologue and go outside, talks to his soldiers, and is getting shot in the back. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It was like useless, whatever.
It's the end, you know, you need to kill off everyone that doesn't, you know, matter.
There you go. So. And everything started exploding everywhere, and Eric Roberts get the bag of money and try to escape. And that's where, after the first skirmish, getting outside, and the guy from the NFL changes clip into his automatic shotgun. And everywhere around the castle, you have those little
guard towers.
Guard towers, which are like 6 pieces of plywood, a guy, and a ladder.
Yeah.
He shoots in there, and this little guard tower must be full of gas.
It's just get engulfed in flames.
It's unbelievable. It's just like crazy, and they start shooting at the river, and the river start exploding.
Well, it's not the river actually. Stallone or someone opens up a big tank of gas, and it just runs in this gully. So that, you know, they thought about it. You know,
yeah.
It's like gas.
Oh yeah, and they explode the castle. They explode the tully, and it's falling because the gas doesn't just go in flames. It's
explodes. Well, that's all the charges they set, I guess. But yeah.
And we get the fight between the guy from the UFC and the guy from the wrestling.
Yeah, Randy Couture and Steve Austin, which is funny if you think about it, because Brock Lesnar is he was in the wrestling and now he's champion. I think he even took the belt from Randy Couture or something like that.
I think so,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you saw the two of them next to each other, there's quite a difference. Anyways,
Randy Couture looks like a small, stocky guy. The other guy you named before is quite beef.
Well, I mean, he fights at like, I think he's like 6'1 or 6'2, and he fights at around 205 or 225.
Okay.
But that's like, you know, fighting shape is like no fat. He's trim, something like that, so.
Anyway.
He's 48 and he's like, he's still fighting. That's something.
He's 48?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I thought he was like 35.
It's something.
Okay. But anyway, he beat, they all have their moments, but in the end, he beats Steve Austin in fire. Yeah. Du feu.
Death in fire.
And you have that cheap CGI effect, and I was like, they couldn't pay a guy. We used to do guy on fires. Why didn't they?
There's all this technology of, you know, putting on the fire suit with their gel, but nope.
Computer fire.
Yeah.
And we see like his face changing while he's burning.
Yeah. There's also an helicopter that gets exploded.
Yeah, the chopper gets it. But
it exploded.
It exploded. And of course, just in time, Stallone like dives and the... And of course, just in time, Stallone like dives and the chopper blades are getting embedded in the wall just beside him. And that's where they go and run after Eric Roberts, who now has the cash and the girl.
Yeah.
Why did he get the girl? I just still don't understand. Hostages?
It's a bargaining chip. Yeah. He runs into someone, he's like, hey, I'll kill her from something or other.
And that's what happened.
That's exactly what happens.
And this is another fun scene because he was like, okay, if you come close to me, I'm going to shoot her. Stallone like drops one of his guns.
Two of his guns, actually.
Get shot in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And while Roberts is monologuing.
Yep.
As a good, every good villain in the 80s should do. At some point, he just like cowboy style.
He's got this holster in, you know, the small of his back. With his like pistol in there.
Yeah, and shoot Roberts at the same time that the girls flew away. And at the same time that he shoots her, you have... You remember the huge knife we were talking like about an hour ago? It just gets out of his chest from the back.
In a horrible CGI scene, it just... it's pitiful, but... It's funny when you see it on the big screen, I mean...
You're like, what the hell?
Yeah. And then there's this bit of dialogue between Stallone and Statham where they're, oh yeah, your knife is like pretty quick, about as quick as my bullets, or something like that.
Yeah, but it's because they have that little rivalry where they're killing the same amount of people and they have like a count. And they're like, oh, we're still like equal or something like that.
It's about saving their lives as well, Cheetah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Macho bullshit.
Yeah. And we go back to... Well, the girl becomes probably Presidente of Villania or something like that.
Yeah, basically Stallone doesn't get the girl.
And yeah, he lets the girl go. There's a little dialogue between Statham and him about girls. And they go back to the garage.
Yes.
Where they're all having fun and Dolph Lundgren is not dead and he became one of their friends again.
It's like he had this near-death experience, so he's cool now.
There you go. And Statham does a bit of poetry while throwing knife with tools. And that's pretty much...
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty much it.
The bad guy's dead. What more do you want?
I don't know, man.
A sequel?
It's coming.
Yeah, I know.
It's coming. It's funny because we're walking out of the movie. I was like, okay, if I would do a sequel, I would use Bruce Willis to do the sequel, to do the bad guy. We come back home the next day. You have that story that Stallone ate with Bruce Willis and he wants him to be the bad guy in the second movie. He saw the same movie I saw.
Well, I mean, if you take the first one, Eric Roberts plays a guy from the CIA. And what's, you know, not said, but you can guess it, it's that Bruce Willis is from the CIA as well.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some kind of retribution or something like that coming.
Yeah. And after we've seen the movie, before we go and ramble around other things, do you want to scale that movie right away?
I guess we can go right ahead.
Okay. And as I mentioned before, we change a little bit how we're going to actually rate those movies. We used to have our old... rating system where we're talking how you should watch a movie in the theater, in DVDs, cheap, whatever. And we didn't thought that was working as well as we thought when we started. So we went back to another scaling system, which is a system in the same kind of idea, but a little bit more with what we're doing. So a perfect movie would get the rating legendary.
It's legendary.
Which ties in with the title of the show. Yay.
See, we think about this stuff.
Oh, yeah, we have production meetings.
It's like we send each other emails sometimes. Really, we do.
Yeah. What else do we have to do at work?
Work?
Oh, yeah. I forget about that.
I do that in between sending you emails.
Yeah, you can.
And, you know, watching the news or something.
Yeah, reading the paper on the internet.
Google News is odd.
Yes, it is. And it's not blocked in any computer.
Yeah.
Which is even greater.
Yep.
So, we have the best we can give.
Yeah, I'll just run them down if you want.
Go.
So, the best we got, number 5, is legendary. At number 4, if it's pretty good, but, you know, it's not the stuff of... it's not a timeless classic. It's a legend of its time. If it's not a legend of its time, but it's still pretty good, it's entertaining. If it's not entertaining, then it's forgettable. And if it's worse than forgettable, well, it's pretty abysmal.
Here you go. So just to give you an idea of maybe an old movie that we scaled before, I'm going to go back to Galaxy Quest because we have both ends of the spectrum. I went for legendary. And you went for abysmal.
No, I wouldn't say abysmal. I wouldn't think you'd put it at legendary as well. But no, I would put it forgettable. I just didn't really care about that movie. It's not. It didn't leave a bad taste. But it's just, I don't care about it.
Yeah, and I would go to on Galaxy Quest: Legend of His Time because it was something that was really funny when I saw it when Star Trek was playing on TV. But it's losing its grip if you don't have the reference now. A bit like Spaceball.
Yeah.
So The Expendable.
Yes.
Where do you scale that?
I'm going right down the middle. I'll go with entertaining. It's it set out to do what it does, and it does it, you know, pretty well. But it's not like we're going to see a masterpiece here.
No, you're absolutely right, but I'm a bit torn between entertaining and Legends of His Time. But when I say Legend of His Time, it would be like a legend in the 80s, not necessarily now. Because I can't say this is, like you said, this is not the stuff of legend. This is not something that's going to make a lifelong impression. But I couldn't stop laughing when I got out of this movie, and... Not a lot of movies are doing that. I know this is not the intention they were intending for me to have, but I have a good memory. Do I really want to watch it again?
We have a good memory, but we can't remember that movie we saw.
Yeah, here you go.
It's just that the plus it's so thin and, you know, there's not much to come back to. But, you know, when you see it, you have a certain expectation, I guess, because... You know, it's so cliche, but it meets all of those expectations. You know, for all its of its shortcoming, it still manages to be entertaining.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, probably I'll tend more where entertaining as well. But,
see, I'm bringing him down.
You're bringing him down.
It's like I'm correcting your review.
But, no, you're right.
I sure am.
You sure are. So, this is it. I think, we're going for entertaining as a whole. And let's ramble on.
All right.
All right. So what do you want to see in a sequel to The Expendable? Let's face it, you can go anywhere at that point.
Well, I think one thing that would be fine would be, well actually it would be good, is if you would manage to have the team together a lot of time, you know, for all of the big names you're supposed to have in there, there is so little interaction. And, I mean, you want there to be, you know, this interaction, this stupid macho male bonding stuff.
I agree. This is the big letdown of the movie. We were sold out that movie for the team, which we almost don't see. And there would be a better interplay, because most of the dialogue is laughing at themselves, who they really are, not who they're playing. I would say lots of the jokes are made on, okay, Jet Li's short, he's paid less than the other action star, and you have the, like I said, the UFC versus wrestling thing, and you have all those little jokes that are really breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah,
a lot. Same thing with Arnold Schwarzenegger in there. It's really just to have like those two action heroes that never did
it's
the big
self,
thing.
It's self-referencing.
Yeah, it's self-referential a lot. But if we could like expand on the theme a bit and see them like in a Mission Impossible kind of way. And when I say that, you keep the idea of everything exploding. But do a mission where everybody has to do his part and everybody has to use his specialties to get to the point, and not just, okay, we need as much firepower as we need. That's what's pretty much at. It was in that one.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be sequels for this, and there's just nothing we can do about it. I think there is possibility for something to be, you know, a bit more interesting in the second one. Will it succeed? That's another thing.
Yeah, because after you've seen the first one, but seriously, I think it will. The people were, in a certain way, pretty happy with the movie. People I know that saw the movie were all like, oh, yeah, it was great. Go see it.
No, I'm okay with that. But what I mean is when the other one will come out, if, you know, they don't work on it a bit more, you'll just get the same thing and that'll be kind of boring.
Yeah, no, that I agree. They need to amp up the things a little bit. I know they're talking about having team versus team, because they're planning the fact that Arnold's not going to be a governor anymore. So it could be the play actually Trench, the guy with the other team, team versus team with Willis in the middle.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking about it right now, and I'm guessing it might be interesting if they might, you know, put in a strong female character as well. There's just none in there.
Okay, but which actress action hero could you use? Demi Moore in G.I. Jane, or Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, I don't know. No, but there's got to be one. I'm not saying I know everything, but just, you know, the girl in Predators was okay. I mean, we could have that kind of character in the movie, and that would be great.
I agree as character, but
you know,
who would
Michelle Rodriguez. Why not?
Sold.
Yeah, there you
no
go.
No problem. Sold. I agree totally
so,
with that.
I mean, yeah.
Do you know Chloe Black?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. It's this girl who plays a character in Stargate, and I thought she did another couple of things, and she would fit the part like perfectly, except she's not that known of an actress.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter if she's known or not. I just say Michelle Rodriguez because it's the first name that came to my mind. But I think it was kind of missing. Charisma Carpenter in this is basically useless.
Oh, yeah, she is.
And Giselle Etier, which she plays the dictator's daughter. I mean, she's kind of there, and she stands up for her principle and everything. But
we don't care.
Yeah, it's pointless.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
It's uninteresting.
Oh, I agree a lot on that. The other point I wanted to get in, this is not the sequel area, but in the plot area, this is pretty much like the same plot as Commando, but with a team. They're going on an island where there's a dictatorship to kill everybody because there's a woman over there that's been taken hostage.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would have loved this movie to be in Valverde. that would be like the ultimate 80s reference in
action
movie.
Maybe someone bought the right to Valverde's.
Oh, bro, yeah. There you go. It's copyright now and you have to pay for it. Oh, damn.
It's all the same to me. I mean, you can name it any way you want it. It just...
Yeah, well, I like that kind of... We were talking about self-referential.
You like those special features you'll get to see on the DVD.
Oh, yeah. Not sure there's that much, like, but probably there's going to be a commentary track in there. Maybe not. Is there a commentary track on Rambo? Can you, like, check the DVD just for fun? This is one. That was the last Stallone movie, so let's see if he's doing commentary tracks.
Six features.
Because they're just rated like the Rambo 4 and Blu-ray, so I got like the other copy for pretty cheap. Like, if I remember, it was $5.99 in my local bin.
That's not the special edition or anything.
No, the special edition just came out at the same time as the Expendable.
But Expendable.
But I wouldn't pay like $25 for this.
Audio commentary with Sylvester Stallone.
I know what I'm gonna listen tonight before I go sleep.
Featuring a Blu-ray exclusive expanded option that take you beyond the film with extended and bonus view.
Yay.
Picture-in-picture exploitation into the film's casting, location, and other filmmaking secrets.
Do you think he's killing more trout with the bow?
Trout fishing with a bow. Isn't that awesome? The worst thing of it is that it's a legitimate sport.
Yeah, it is. But trout fishing with a bow? It is a legitimate sport or just...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. But that was funny in the movie.
It's a real thing.
Okay. So if you're doing like bow fishing, don't try to kill me. Sorry. That was funny anyway in the movie.
As long as you're no fish.
Yeah, I'm no fish.
So yeah, we'll get a special commentary. I'm guessing, you know, with all the guys they have in there, you'll probably get, you know, a bunch of them and they'll comment on it.
Oh, that's gonna be great. But I'm still gonna wait. In the old scaling, this is a movie I've already seen. This is gonna be bought out of a bin again. I'm not gonna pay it back.
I'm not gonna buy this.
Oh, $5 in a bin, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you'll buy it.
Yes.
So go. I could borrow it.
That's a great way to do things. We just lend movie to each other. We share the love.
Nope,
the movies.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to add on this Expendable podcast?
Nope.
So that's pretty much it. So we liked the movie. It was great. And if you have now, this is going to be published at the end of September. So probably if it's still in theater, you can go see it for like $5. So have fun. Have a blast. Don't take your girlfriend to see that movie. Go see like The Breakup with Jennifer Aniston or something like that with her. Or don't go see that.
Yeah, we won't.
Just...
I won't.
You won't? Me neither. I'm an happy lad. My girlfriend likes horror movie and crap like that, so I don't have to go through those like girly movie and everything.
I mean, if there's Jennifer Aniston in the movie, it's like minus 10 points for me already.
Yeah, when she's out of Friends, it's not really interesting.
No comment.
Oh. Anyway... So, if you want to leave us feedback, you can leave us feedback at legends.podcast@hotmail.com. It's legends with a S, .podcast@hotmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at legends podcast in one word, legends podcast. You can leave us a comment on our webpage as legendspodcast.libsyn. It's libsyn.com. You can find us on iTunes. You just have to search for Legends Podcast, and we're going to be right there, the green cheap logo, because none of us is doing great imagery out of the computer. So it's a paint Legend Podcast logo. You're going to find it. It's easy to find when you know what you're looking for. We're now on Podcast Pickle, Podcast Canada, Podcast.com, or any other directory of choice. Or if you were not, send me an email. I'll send them the... RSS feed for that. You can subscribe and please give us a positive review, because this help other people find us. This put us on page in iTunes, so we're coming up when people type a movie review or stuff like that, because let's be frank, there's like a bunch of movie review podcasts, and if we want to get out of the lot, we need your help. So please give us a positive review on iTunes or any other directory of choice. I would like to thank special thanks, like we were doing last couple of years. podcasts, and the last four podcasts, my God. I'm already at, we're doing like hundreds of that. I would like to thanks a friend of mine who's called Griper, that is a moderator on the GWC forum that I've mentioned a lot, and should help me add a little window over there, like on the forum. It was pretty great. Thank you very much. She's one of our longtime listener. She listened to at least 10 podcasts, because this is number 11, so it's a 10th publish. We're in the 2-digit now.
Awesome.
Awesome. So thank you, Griper. Thank you a lot. And thank you for listening. I hope you're having fun with these little things. Next week, I should be back to finish the Back to the Future arc with Jen. So you're going to see our impression on the last Back to the Future. We're going to the far west. And that's pretty much it. This has been episode 11 of Legends Podcast, The Expendables. I'm John D. signing out.
And I'm Frank signing out.
Hope you listen to us next week.
Have a good time, boys and girls.
This has been Legend Podcast. We remind you to visit legendsactionfigures.com. Please leave us a positive review on iTunes. See you next week for a new episode.
Legends Podcast is not affiliated with any other entity. The opinions stated in this podcast are strictly personal and do not represent the view of its sponsor or any other person or entity. No infringement is intended.